16. Chad can live without oil. Scores of oil platforms had spread across the red clay ravines and subtropical bush of southern Chad by 2006. There were by now 368 wells in all, scattered across just over 12,000 square miles. Each rig pointed at the sky like a 30-foot rocket prepared for launch. In the dry seasons, heat baked the ground to an amber shade, and blown dust caked the equipment. When the rains came, low clouds hung in wisps around the metallic caps topping the derricks. At the main production facility at Combe, known within ExxonMobil as Combe 5, some of the Africans who worked behind the tall fences illuminated by safety lights, and who found their lives constrained by ExxonMobil's extensive rulemaking, facetiously referred to the compound as Guantanamo. The joke's suggestion of exclusion and menace captured a larger truth about ExxonMobil's operations in Chad. Since it was not feasible for the corporation to devise solutions to all of the problems of a very poor country, the logic of ExxonMobil's systems management argued for engineering Chad and its pathologies out of the equation to the greatest extent possible. ExxonMobil's 1,000 expatriate workers and managers rotated in and out of the country on 28-day tours without ever interacting with the world outside their compound chain-link fences, which were 9 feet high and topped with a barbed wire anti-climbing barrier. In addition to Combe 5, there were 9 ExxonMobil camps across southern Chad, as well as 450 oil production areas and 50 construction sites. The corporation's expatriate workers and managers flew on commercial or chartered flights into N'Djamena's International Airport, transferred without leaving the grounds to an ExxonMobil shuttle plane, flew to the corporation's private airport at Combe, and then checked into barracks or bungalows within the fenced perimeter. For the next 4 weeks, they could neither drink alcohol nor leave the facility. The corporation's roughly 5,000 Chadian employees followed the same rules. Those who worked in Combe 5 checked through the employee security gate for 28-day shifts and could not leave but for approved emergencies unless they were prepared to give up their lucrative salaries. It was like being entombed, one of the Africans remarked. Inside the Combe 5 complex, ExxonMobil employees enjoyed 24-hour electricity, high-speed internet service, satellite television programming, refrigerated and packaged food, and as many other amenities of middle-class Houston as it was possible to supply by airlift at reasonable cost. Immediately outside the fence stood a shanty town known locally as Quartier Satan, the Quarter of Waiting. It had sprung up as a settlement for hopeful Chadian laborers when the oilfield construction work began. After the initial building slowed, the settlement became an iniquitous way station for Chadians entering or leaving Guantanamo. Its stalls were stocked with bottles of the potent millet home brew, Bilibili, or the even more potent, Argue. Prostitutes from Cameroon staffed the back rooms. In the bush beyond the Quartier, there were small villages where the homes were constructed from kilned brick and thatched straw, with tall conical roofs shaped like a farm wife's sun hat. Oxen, pigs, donkeys, horses, and shirtless children wandered through sandy lanes. Here, there was little reliable electricity. Public relations efforts have fallen short of the locals' expectations, and a growing resentment is building towards the oil project and its workers, noted an embassy cable written about 6 years after the World Bank, ExxonMobil, its non-operating partners, and the government of Chad had agreed to a radical plan to ensure that the country's oil profits were not stolen or wasted. The oil region presented a booming industrial economy behind the ExxonMobil fence, but little sign of sustainable progress outside. Rather than engineering social and economic change to improve the conditions of most ordinary Chadians, the bank experiment had created conditions under which ExxonMobil could produce and sell oil the way it did everywhere else, in a setting where that might otherwise be impossible. Without the bank, the corporation could not have easily profited from its reserves in Chad. But whether the bank succeeded with its broader development goals was fading as a material concern for ExxonMobil. Chad's geology had proved challenging. Project costs had ballooned over budget, and oil production remained lower than originally forecast. But rising global oil prices cured these business ills. During 2005, the corporation's oil sales from Chad reached the point where it had recouped the costs of construction and investment. The project was now profitable and even susceptible to Chadian taxes at a 60% rate, over and above a 12.5% royalty ExxonMobil had paid on gross oil sales to Deby's regime from the beginning. The security of ExxonMobil's operation and investment remained a worry, however. ExxonMobil and its partners recognized that the oil fields in southern Chad are of strategic interest to any group seeking to overthrow the regime, the embassy noted to Washington. As in Indonesia, ExxonMobil protected its oil field perimeter with a forward defense. In southern Chad, there were very few armed rebels. President Idriss Deby had brutally wiped out an incipient guerrilla movement as ExxonMobil prepared to construct its oil wells. By 2006, the groups that most threatened President Deby operated from Sudan, many hundreds of miles away. Still, the desert could be traversed quickly. Rather than sit behind its fences and wait for some unexpected rebel group wearing bandanas and wraparound sunglasses to arrive in pickup trucks toting rocket-propelled grenades, ExxonMobil employed about 2,500 unarmed private security guards in southern Chad and equipped them with white sport utility vehicles and portable radios. The jeeps conspicuously patrolled the roads around Kom and bumped through villages watching for outsiders. With ExxonMobil's encouragement, camouflaged soldiers from the formal Chadian gendarmerie shouldered automatic rifles and maintained checkpoints and encampments along the roads to and from the oil area, prepared to seal off the region in the event of trouble.